you need an outline, a little half sheet paper, please raise your hand and Chuck will get you a copy. Thank you, Chuck. And I had a little computer problem this week. When I got all done with all this, it wouldn't let me save it. And so I usually save it and modify it and send it to Tim. So he will not be able to project every reference I'm using this morning. So you may have to jot them down and open your Bibles a little bit. And that's okay. If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to John 14. I'd like to survey with you this morning verses 21 through 31. John 14, 21 through 31. And we're calling this Enjoying the Abundant Life Now. Enjoying the Abundant Life Now. Please follow along as I read John 14, verse 21 through 31. We're in the middle of the upper room discourse where Jesus is doing some very, very intimate communication with his disciples as he's on the way to Calvary. Some things that they're going to hear, they're not going to understand until post-resurrection, really the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God is going to be given to them in a more permanent way. But he writes, he says this, John 14, 21. Jesus says, "Whoever has my commandments and whoever keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." That's a weighty statement. That is a weighty statement. And like some of the other statements the Lord made, there's a question asked by one of his disciples. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us but not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him, and we will make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." Father, we need your understanding. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit, and we're thankful for the freedom you've given us in this great nation to meet and study our Bibles together. We are full of joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Way back in John 10, verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ gives what we could call a purpose statement. It's for his sheep. It's for those who place their faith in him. It's for his own. In John 10, verse 10, he's making a contrast, and he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." And then Jesus says this as a great shepherd. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it how? Abundantly," or more abundantly. The abundant life, the abundant life. And by the way, that initially begins for you at the moment you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died for you as your substitute on the cross. And as we said last week, that is a marvelous benefit, but benefits always come with responsibilities. And so that responsibility of enjoying the abundant life requires continued cultivation, or really growing in grace. We put this little card out for you every summertime. On a paper stock. We call it Walking with Jesus in the Summertime. We encourage you to pick one up. They're here. They're on the table. And if you read one chapter a day beginning in June 1st, you'll read through the Gospels. It's just a good thing to help yourself grow in grace and appropriate the abundant life a little bit. Abundant life requires spiritual formation. That's been a hot topic last couple decades. And for us, spiritual formation involves really three bottom line issues once you place your faith in Christ. Three bottom line issues. That's the Word of God, intake of the Word of God, prayer, very important, and meditation. And meditation is the key to Bible saturation. This morning, as I mentioned, I want to go through John 14, 21 through 31, where we have some more practical help for disciples for taking hold of and enjoying the abundant life now. And rather, and it's very easy for me to be negative because I'm just good at being negative, but rather than telling you what not to do, I want to look at these verses where they tell us what to do to appropriate and to enjoy the abundant life now. We'll enjoy it for eternity, but Jesus said, the Word of God says, we can be enjoying it now. And that's a choice. You can go on and just live your life waiting for Jesus to come back, or you can really enjoy the abundant life right now. Okay? I don't want to sound like Joel Osteen. He doesn't say the same thing. This is a little bit different. All right? So where are we? Let's look at three positive, proactive ways you can enjoy this life to the full. And if we're going to take hold of and enjoy to the fullest the abundant life, first and foremost, on your outline, number one, we have to get serious, and you know all these things, but they're right in the text. We need to get serious about, number one, intentionally and lovingly obeying the Lord. Intentionally and lovingly obeying the Lord. I want you to notice the two words there, the word intentionally. And intentionally has to do with active pursuit or focus. This takes effort. We're not talking about working for salvation. We're talking about working out your salvation. Intentionally. And the word lovingly. Lovingly is the heart attitude God is looking for. And if you're writing notes, the one word you want to write down here is affection. Affection. The great scholar, pastor Jonathan Edwards, was masterful in writing on spiritual affections. Not emotions, but affections. Following the text here, in John 14, 21, as I said, this is a weighty verse. We have in John 14, 21, conditional promises. Conditional promises. And these are given to more than just the 11 disciples who are hearing this. Let me read this to you again. Follow along with the text here. Jesus says, whoever, that's beyond the 12, every believer, who has my commandments and keeps them, see the condition? He it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, we all know here, because you've been in church a long time, that God so loved the world, right? So God loves the whole world. We tell people that Jesus loves them, and that's true. And there's a special love for Christ's own sheep. But here, Jesus takes love and intimacy to a whole new level. And what our Lord is talking about here, he's talking about life beyond the cross, when Jesus will rule from the throne, actively work through the Spirit. He talks about God's part. He talks about ours part. And by the way, verse 21 here in John 14 is not for unbelievers. This is directed purely for those who have placed their faith in Christ. And what the word says here, what verse 21 verse says here, it says, if you love Jesus, if you say love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. Or the one who loves Jesus is recognized as the one who keeps his commands. And here's where the conditional issue comes in. When you do that, verse 21 says, God will love you, Jesus will love him, and Jesus will manifest himself to you in a deeper level, beyond normal salvation. There's intimacy, there's closeness here, there's enjoying the abundant life. Last I checked, we have 21 grandchildren. Is that correct? Almost. One's in the chute, ready to come. Any moment, we're going to get a call. We're going to get a call. We're going to see what they're going to name this one. I gave her all my suggestions, and they were all good suggestions. Some of them weren't good, but they were all wonderful, you know. And we're waiting any moment now. We hope we're not now, but pretty soon, number 22 will be here. 20, 21 grand, that's a lot of kids. They're all over the world, all right? They're not around here. And they're all related to us. They can never not be our grandchildren. It's a, you know that thing, you know that whole illustration. But there's one in particular. There's one in particular. And I only see him every 5 years. And when he comes here, and when he stays at our house, and he stays for weeks at a time, he hangs around with me every day. I come home, I get here early in the morning, I come home, lunchtime, I'm ready for supper at lunchtime, but anyhow, I come home, I pick him up, we come back to the building, he brings his tools, he's just a little guy. He goes to work in the cellar, cleaning up, and whatever I want to do, he wants to do. Wherever I want to go, he wants to go. Wherever I want to eat, he wants, whatever I want to eat, he wants to eat. And by the way, there's free food on the 7th, okay, there's free food, all right. The only difference we have, I like hot coffee, and my little guy likes hot chocolate. But I'll tell you what, we hang out, we have a great time, it's just wonderful. And he doesn't have to be in a car seat anymore. Don't you enjoy those days? No more car seats, it's great. I have a closer relationship with him than I do with the other 19, 20, 21, whatever. Not because I love them less. Not because they're not related to me, not because they're not part of the Sutter tribe, it's because of what? The intimate fellowship. That's what Jesus is saying here. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about enjoying something that few believers today enjoy because we're distracted with everything else. Right? God, you take home 21 and meditate over that verse. That is weighty. That is weighty. And these men, at the time, don't understand it. They don't understand it. They won't understand it until later. And by the way, John 14, back up. I won't read these, but 19 and 20, it is only given to those who are obedient. And maybe one of the reasons why so many Christians are weak and distracted today and acting like the world is because we're not taking verse 21 to heart. We're not pursuing the abundant life. We're not pursuing all that God has given to us. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, a couple weeks ago, we looked at some questions, right? Jesus is giving some amazing revelation to these men. And so after he got done with his presentation, there was Q&A time. And so Peter asked a question. He asked two. Thomas asked a question. Philip asked a question. And here we have, if you're taking notes, we have a fourth question. A fourth question. And we could spend more time in 21, by the way. In 14, John 14, verse 22, here is your fourth question. Judas, and we have to make clear there, is not Iscariot. Okay, where is Judas Iscariot? Here's another Judas, and we don't know a whole lot about this one. We don't know a whole lot about this one, so I won't talk about him. He says, Lord, how is it then that you will display, you will manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? In other words, how only to us and not to everyone? What's his concern here? The concern is, how could Jesus reappear after his temporary withdrawal and avoid showing himself to everyone? Why, that restriction does not make sense. Well, in John 14, verse 23 through 24, our Lord's going to give a little further teaching here to clarify that. So the fourth little arrow there is making it very clear, making it very clear. Let me read these to you again. Jesus answered him. And again, you see the condition here. You see the condition here. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, that's obey me. My Father will love him. But doesn't God love the world? Yes. Doesn't God love every believer? Yes. But there's a deeper level here. Don't you see that? There's a deeper level here. My Father will love him. We will come to him. That's intimate fellowship that 1 John talks about later on. And we will make our home with him now. We will dwell now. This is not the heavenly home. This is now. This is the abundant life, that relationship with the Trinity. Love here is the condition of this revelation. The attitude we have makes all the difference. Verse 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me, bottom line. I want to ask a question here. Can you be a genuine believer in Jesus Christ and not have love for the Lord? Is that possible? Can you be a genuine believer in Jesus Christ and not have love for the Lord? Yes or no? I heard a lot of answers up there. Well, they'll straighten that out next hour. Okay, you'll hear the yes next hour. And remember, Jonathan Edwards will talk about affections, not emotions, affections. And the answer to the question I just asked will depend on your theological bias. Okay, theological bias. Let's look at this a little bit. I think it's possible to be a believer in Jesus Christ and have your love cooled down, like it's almost absent, like you can't tell the difference. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good at all. At the end of 1 Corinthians, and I'm giving my bias here, 1 Corinthians 16, I've read some of these before, but I've read most of this to you before. So at the end of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul's, I believe the Corinthian church, he's writing to saints. He's writing to believers. He doesn't question their salvation. And he writes this at the end of his letter, toward the end of his letter. He says in 1 Corinthians 16, 22, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. That's strong. That is strong. There may be some of that congregation who do not have that love for the Lord. They need to be dealt with. They need to be disciplined. They need to be brought back in the fold. I read to you just a few weeks ago, and I'm still meditating over this one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24, Paul ends the great epistle with this. Often we just bypass this because we're so much in a hurry to get through the epistle. But he says, grace be with all you who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. There must be some there who don't have that kind of love in the church. That's a special kind of benediction. I was going over this again in my mind, just praying through this morning, and I added 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 2. This is a stellar convicting passage. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I won't mention Revelation 2. We often do that, but 1 John chapter 2 says something very interesting, and John is writing to believers. John, the ancient apostle, is writing to Christians in 1 John chapter 2, picking up verse 15. John says to Christians, he says to you, he says, do not love the world. Don't love the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, you can't have two loves controlling you at the same time. What did Jesus say? You can't serve what? You can't serve two masters. You can't have competing loves ruling your heart. It's a disconnect, although probably some of us are going through that. John says here, if anyone loves the world, which you're not to do, the love of the Father is not controlling you. That is not in you. It is not evident. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but from the world, and the world is passing away. I'm anxious to, my son, Sam, is down in Florida preaching through 1 John, and I got halfway through his message on chapter 2, 15 through 17. I need to finish that and see what he's going to preach on this morning. He does a much better job with the text than I do. One more reference here that might be alarming or maybe proves a point. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. You know where Paul is. He's in the dungeon. It's dark, dismal. He's waiting for his execution. Here's the great apostle Paul, the great church planter, the great evangelist. For the most part, all his associates have left him. They've abandoned him. Very few people are taking care of him. And he's going through some of these men with Timothy, some who break his heart, and he says this. He says in chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas. And Demas was a very effective co-worker with Paul in other times, in other places, in doing missionary work and church planting work. But he says, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. I've heard people say that Demas wasn't a real believer. He was a real believer. I've heard people say Demas lost his salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. He got his eyes off of Christ And perhaps when he's traveling around and he saw all these wonderful houses and all, I can't say cars because he didn't see cars back then, all these things, and perhaps his heart started drifting and he's thinking to himself, why am I sacrificing? And why am I sacrificing for all these selfish Christians? And on it goes. Perhaps his heart just drifted and he fell in love with the present world and said, you know, Paul, I've had enough. I've had enough. Got to watch that. Got to watch that heart. Dr. Merrill Tenney, for years, one of the key professors at Wheaton College, a wonderful, wonderful Bible teacher, he wrote this. And I've been enjoying his work going through John again. Professor Tenney wrote, love engenders obedience. And listen to this. And progressive revelation, that's insight into the Word of God when he writes about progressive revelation. Insight in the Word of God is possible only where obedience exists. That's what Jesus is saying. No second revelation, more insight on the Word, to anyone who does not respond to obligations amplified in that first commandment. That first commandment is love God, love one another. Lack of love will produce disobedience, and disobedience, Professor Tenney wrote, is an insult to the Father, even if it's passive disobedience. And a point I want to make before we go on to the second point is you can read your Bible, you can study your Bible, you can know your Bible, or think you know your Bible, but without loving obedience, that heart, there'll be no insight, there'll be no power. I want to say you're almost wasting your time, but the Spirit of God can still convict. No fell present. To enjoy all the benefits of the abundant life, there must be, this is not optional, this is not maybe, there must be intentional and loving obedience. Bottom line, that's what Jesus said. You go home and study, I hope you go home and study this a little more. Number two, second thing, if we're going to enjoy and appreciate the abundant life now, we must go about appreciating, and here's a word for you, appropriating the Holy Spirit. We must go about appreciating and appropriating the Holy Spirit. John 14, 25 and 26, where Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But, 26 is a key word, verse, that will be further amplified in John chapter 16 later on. But the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying that the coming of the Holy Spirit, by the way, when will the Spirit of God come? When? Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, right? The coming of the Holy Spirit would compensate for the bodily absence of Jesus, who would carry on his promises. And so the permanent ministry of the Holy Spirit, invisible, would stay with these disciples and make, really, the presence of Jesus known. Verse 26, there are several tasks that the Holy Spirit, the coming Holy Spirit, would accomplish. He would, according to verse 26, the Holy Spirit will guarantee and make clear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what he's going to do. That's what he continues to do. The Holy Spirit, he says here, will renew their memory, the disciples' memory, so that the words of Jesus would retain their vividness. And Jesus says, he's coming in my name. That's with Jesus' authority. Holy Spirit is going to take what Jesus said to them, his disciples, and bring it to their forefront later on when they needed to hear most, when they're going through tough times. And by the way, there's no substitute for learning here. That doesn't mean the disciples had to stop studying their Bible. They had to learn. Our Lord expected that his disciples would pay close attention to his teaching so that the Holy Spirit might direct and use what they had already required. Just steer the Word of God. I just got done reading one of the most little convicting booklets I have read in a long time called, and the title won't grab you, but it's by Michael Reeves. And if you watched the missionary presentations a couple weeks ago with us in Sunday school, you saw Michael Reeves pop on the screen now and then. He's over in Britain. He's powerful. He wrote a little book called Preaching a God-Centered Vision. Ultra convicting. But he said several things, reminded us of several things about the Spirit of God's ministry. He said, the Holy Spirit will change people from the inside out. We can't change people, okay? We can give people lists, tell them to do things. The Spirit of God is the instrument, the power that changes people from the inside out. That's why I'm encouraged when you're out there giving the gospel, because we just need one man or woman to come to Christ and be spirit-filled and change the world, okay? But God never works through super multitudes. He's looking for that one man. He's looking for that one young man, young woman, old woman who's just going to take this thing to heart and live for Christ. Reeves goes on to say, the Holy Spirit, this is important, the Holy Spirit will alter, change our tastes, and our affections. You know, we try to change our habits. Our spouses try to change our habits. Have fun, you know, because when they're not around, you know how it is. But the Holy Spirit will come in through the Word of God. He will change our tastes. He will give us new tastes. He will give us new affections, new heart directions that can't come from other actions. And that is, by the way, that's what we're trying to say here, is that's where the real spiritual transformation takes place. And that's that still small voice of the Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God. Now, there's much more in John 16, and Lord willing, we'll look at that in weeks to come. But in the meanwhile, we can enjoy the benefits of the abundant life now. We said by, number one, intentionally and lovingly obeying the Lord. That's bottom line. We can all do that. Appreciating and appropriating the Spirit. And then, third, John gives us one more. Jesus gives us one more in John 14, 27 through 31. I'll survey this. Third, if we're going to enjoy this life, we're going to step back and see the big picture. We're going to step back and see the big picture, or stepping back and seeing the big picture. In other words, if we're going to enjoy the abundant life now, we need to maintain, and this gets thrown off all the time, we need to maintain a biblical worldview, a biblical focus, a biblical perspective. Not a CNN, not a Fox perspective, not whatever else, Wall Street Journal. A kingdom, a biblical mindset. Amen. Pair of glasses, right? Because if we don't, we're a mess. We're just a mess, okay? I don't believe anything we hear anymore out there. You know how it is? Unbelievable. The only person I believe is my wife and Dr. Cohen. That's it. And a couple of you. You know, that's it. All right. Anyhow, I'm off course here. Three areas here we'll find encouragement and warning. Let me just mention these here, okay? Number one, there's encouragement to the disciples here. They need to keep a perspective, and they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it. They don't have the Holy Spirit yet. They don't understand what's going on. Jesus is giving them all this high power teaching, and they're hearing it. They're probably saying amen, and if they said it back then, but they don't get it yet. They haven't grasped it yet. But our Lord's going to give it to them later, and the Spirit of God's going to make it clear, right? Right. Number one, encouragement to the disciples. John 14, 27, 28, and 29. Jesus says, and here's a perspective. Here's the world. Here's the world view we all need right now. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than mine. So you should have that mindset of peace. You should have that worldview of joy. And he says, now I have told you before it takes place so that when it does, you may believe. Belief as well. One word here is peace. Peace, and you know this, is not freedom from suffering or turmoil. It's an inner perspective. It's not as the world gives. The world gives peace that's temporary. It's transitory. It changes, and it's without any foundation. Any foundation. Every now and then, I see this little clip of Ringo Starr. It's his birthday. He's still alive. And you know who Ringo is? If you don't know who Ringo is, that's okay. You're better off for it. That's one of my sons named the dog after him. So anyhow, Ringo Starr was and still is a famous drummer. And they'll put him on camera when it's his birthday. Ringo, what do you have to say to the world? And he'll say two things. He puts up his fingers. He goes, peace and love. Peace and love. That's it. He has no clue. He has no clue. But we like him anyhow, right? We like him anyhow. Peace here results in a calm, undeviating devotion to the will of God. Stay focused, Jesus is saying. Stay focused. Hold on tight. Verse 28, he mentioned we need to have that season of joy. Joy needs to be part of our worldview, where Jesus says in verse 28, you have heard, I'm going away. That should get you excited. That should fill you with joy. That means our program is going to continue. I'm going to the throne. Things are going to be wonderful. And then he says in verse 29, you should have that perspective of understanding the time and the events. And they would understand this later. So that's the word for the disciples, and that will continue. Then our Lord gives a worldview perspective on to the devil. He's not speaking to the devil, but that's what the notes say, to the devil. Okay, you can write down to the devil, verse 30. That's who he's talking about. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world. Who's the ruler of this world? Who's the ruler of the world today? Satan, right? And as Martin Luther said, that Satan is God's Satan, okay? God's still sovereign even over the devil. For the devil, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. His time is limited. His time is limited. Jesus would ultimately not be taken captive. He was able to pass through the devil's power without any fear of negative consequences. And he says to the disciples, he says to us, do not fear. Do not fear. Devil may think he's in control now, but his time is limited. A number of years ago now, many years ago now, I was in a degree program at Dallas, and for part of that degree program, we had to take a psychological test. You'll love those things. And you had to answer all these questions, and then they grade it, and then we had to meet with a counselor, a psychologist, or whatever they were, and he was going to individually tell us all about ourselves, and those were a lot of fun, you know. And he looked at mine, and he says, man, you're pretty angry. My father had just committed suicide just a while ago, so yeah, I was pretty angry. And so, and this guy got angry off the chart. Man, the more he talked to me, the more this guy got really, really angry. But he ended our time together, and we only had about 15 minutes to solve every problem we ever had in life. But at the end of our discussion, he took me to, isn't that very nice man, godly guy, he took me to Romans 16, verse 20. He opened up his Bible, and he said, I have God's word for you, David Sutter. Here's God's word for you. Romans 16, verse 20. It says here, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. In other words, hold on. Hold on, the best is yet to come. And then Paul says here in Romans 16, verse 20, latter part of the verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What's he saying? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. The best is yet to come. Third, fill in the blank there, the perspective to the world. The perspective to the world. John 14, verse 31. John 14, 31, we're breaking in context here, but Jesus said, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Christ's obedience, and that's going to the cross and beyond, says it's going to impact the world. Christ's loving obedience to the Father is going to impact the world. And how is that possible? How is that possible? Well, through global witness, through missions. And we'll see more of this in John 15 and 16 as we examine that. But that'll take place through, and that's going on this morning, through global witness, through the gospel being proclaimed. God's love accomplished through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we saying this morning? If you're in Christ, and I assume you are, that you've placed your faith in Christ, he's your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, you have a choice. You can just go through life like everybody else, or you can enjoy the abundant life. And if you want to enjoy the abundant life now, there are certain conditions. And if you don't meet those conditions, you're not going to be able to enjoy the abundant life as the Lord Jesus Christ laid out. It's a choice. It's a choice. And that's up to you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives us even greater understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke so many years ago. And I pray, Lord, that we would hunger and thirst for this kind of life where we have that intimate relationship with Christ, that intimate relationship with the Father, where it is said you will come and make your abiding with us through the Spirit in a more powerful way. Father, we need that. We want that. And may we not be satisfied with anything else. Thank you, Lord, for a congregation of wonderful people who love the Word and love obeying the truth. May the tribe be multiplied in Jesus' name. Amen.